Welcome to Creating Flow, the podcast where I, Joni Francisco, hope to empower women, helpers, and healers to unblock their energy and unlock their power. We're tackling the tough reality that many in the healing professions often sacrifice their well-being in the pursuit of helping others. Not only do I believe this is just plain wrong, it ends up draining their vitality and diminishing their ability to serve. I've experienced this struggle firsthand and have emerged with the insights and strategies to break this cycle. That's why each week we explore practical methods not only to replenish your energy, but to also cultivate abundance in your life. You'll gain actionable steps to fill your cup first, ensuring you can overflow with energy and serve others without burning out. Now, I invite you to ask yourself, why am I not where I want to be in my life, my health, my business? Why do I not have what I want? Why do I not feel how I want to feel? And if you're listening to this and you can journal down a few of these answers, it'd be great. Writing it out helps us get clear. If you're driving, just imagine in your head, keep your eyes open, right? And as you answer these questions, it's just really to get a flavor, right? Do you see any blame, shame, or judgment in your answers towards yourself, towards other people, towards source? Well, in today's episode, I invite you to explore the drama triangle and understand how this may be keeping you stuck in all these areas of your life and also draining your energy. But first, if you like what you hear today, then I would highly suggest you joining the Abundance of Flow community and school. Not only are there free, awesome AF trainings in there, we're building a community of other helpers ready to have more abundance and flow in their lives. Let's journey together towards freedom in life, health, and business. The link to join is in the show notes, and I hope to see you there. As I was talking about before, being caught in these roles of the victim triangle or the drama triangle, they drain your energy and your power. So in this episode, I plan to provide actual steps to identify. Don't be surprised if you fit the role of all three at different times or with different people, where we're really going to identify what role you prefer to play, why you might play that role, and how to step out of that role. And this takes a little finessing from our ego and our subconscious. So if you've listened to me speak before, you may have heard me say, put on your curiosity hat or surround yourself in your love bubble. And really, this is the invitation to look at yourself from that perspective of an observer. I have a mentor, and she often says, put yourself on Mars and look back on your life, right? So be out in outer space and look down at that view. And again, just this curiosity is really often necessary for us to be able to, I don't really want to say bypass, but it's kind of to allow our ego and our subconscious to feel safe, right? As we're on this healing journey and as we're shaking up our belief systems and as we're trying to heal, we often have to look from this outside perspective in order to not have shame, guilt, and judgment until we're further along in the process. And even then, sometimes it's still super important because we all are human. We're doing this human existence and things come up, right? So let's put on that curiosity lens or that curiosity hat, wrap yourself in your love bubble, and let's look at what these different roles could be and how they might be showing up in your life. So the victim triangle or the drama triangle is part of transactional analysis. You may have heard of critical parents, that inner child, the adolescent, and the mature adult. Those are all parts of transactional analysis, and the drama triangle is a part of that as well. And it's just a way to describe the different roles that we may play out in unhealthy or immature relationships. And oftentimes, like many of the things we do in life, we've adopted these roles, or these roles have been imprinted on us to be safe or to be in relationship with those people. And so the intention today is really just to understand this, plant this seed that this might be happening in your life, and look at this from a really high level view. And again, of how you're showing up in these roles and the strategies of how to step out of those roles. So I'm going to go through kind of some qualities of the victim, the rescuer, and the persecutor. Those are the three roles that are in the drama triangle. And again, you may see yourself vacillate between all three, or you might have a predominant flavor that you like. So I'll give you some of the qualities. So the victim often feels oppressed, helpless, hopeless, powerless, ashamed. And they might actually not even know they're really feeling this, but they're seeking for someone else, the rescuer, to save them. They often don't take responsibility for their own actions, or they don't seek real solutions. They deny that responsibility or the power to change, and they get something from playing this role. And oftentimes this is pleasure or attention or compensation in some way. They really communicate from the perspective of the inner child, that ego state, and they're looking for validation and accolades. And I've really seen this expressed, you know, they blame others. Like, if so-and-so would just do this, I would have this. If my kids would pick up their toys, I would not be angry. If I could just make more money, I would be able to leave this job that I hate. Things like that. That last one might even be more, a little more adventurous than a lot of victims. And so it may even look more like, I'm never going to have enough money to leave. And I'm stuck in this job and I have to stay here so that I can make enough money to scrape by, right? And I've seen this play out in real life a couple of different ways with some of my clients. And often, again, as we can go through different parts of these roles, I'll see them play the role differently in the clinical setting versus outside how they show up in relationships to their loved ones. I've seen people come in to my clinic and they're getting better and they know they're getting better. And this imposes a risk, right? So if they get better and they can take care of themselves, then they might not have to have the caregiver anymore. And then who would take care of them, right? They would have to take care of themselves. And then they would maybe risk losing attention. And they would then have to look elsewhere for that validation instead of from this caregiver. And the other part I've seen of this is when people are seeking compensation, either from insurance or, you know, they want to keep certain kinds of benefits. And I will see them come into the clinic and they will be, you know, more extreme, more severe. And again, they may just be looking for that confirmation and validation from me that they need help or they need this assistance. But then I'll see them out in public and they will, you know, be walking normally, or they'll be lifting heavy things or getting down on the dance floor. And this isn't any judgment, right? These are all just roles that we've taken on to get our needs met in some way or another. And a lot of times these roles have been imprinted on us as we were young, and within family dynamics or within school dynamics or our friend groups. So the next one, let's look at rescuer. So the rescuer takes on the role of the hero. They feel responsible for saving others. And the kicker is they don't really want the victim to get better, right? Because it would take away their role. So they operate from the parent ego state, and they often provide unsolicited help and advice, and they get some kind of pleasure or purpose or self-worth from helping the victim, even though they have an inner deep desire, which it's probably not conscious, right? For their victim to stay a victim so that they can continue to perpetuate their feeling like they're doing a good thing, they're taking care of this other person, they're coming in as the knight in shining armor. And then the other side of that is they really have this desire to be cared for. And this is especially in like a tit for tat energy, right? I'll do this for you and you'll do this for me later. And a lot of times this will have implied guilt within it. I did this for you yesterday. Why aren't you doing this for me today? And you can see that then, you know, the roles are reversed, but that is how this drama triangle works. And in this rescuer, as many of you listeners are helpers and healers, you're overgivers, you are here to serve, right? And one thing I see, again, in my clients that when we're doing coaching is this overarching responsibility for others' healing, or for the people you're serving to fix, like your responsibility for them to fix whatever it is you're helping them with. But instead of having it on their responsibility to fix it, you take it on as yours. And this may even be so much so like a massage therapist taking on the shoulder pain and the knee pain and the ankle pain of the clients she saw that day, taking on that energy, or taking on the underlying energy, like a counselor taking on the energy of guilt or sadness or anger from the clients they saw. And I know in some ways it seems really altruistic, right? And I know that this is before being introduced to myofascial release and Reiki and other energy healing arts, this would happen to me. I would be seeing clients in person as a physical therapist, and I would go home and I would have this weird knee pain out of nowhere. I didn't do anything. I was at work all day. There shouldn't be any pain there, right? But I'd seen three people with knee pain that day. And I started to see that pattern. Well, now that I use myofascial release predominantly with clients, but also always this intention that this energy is moving through me. And there's this grounding of that Mother Earth divine energy that is helping me serve, and also learning that if I take on other people's things, they can't heal them. So if I take on someone's pain that they need to work through, it's not available for them to take it on and for them to actually move through and heal it. So they're stuck in that, right? So we're keeping them a victim. And also you can't do anything with it because it's not yours to move through. So it just ends up draining your energy. And if you think about seeing clients all day and you're doing this all day, this becomes a problem. And a tangent here, again, I mentioned the Abundance and Flow community on school. Within that, I do have some trainings on if you are a provider and you're seeing this in your life, I have a couple trainings in there that will teach you how to do transitions and how to give people back their energy and how to not take on other people's energy. So again, the important part of that is as a rescuer, not taking on other people's things because they cannot move through them if we hold them for them. And all it does for us is make us tired, right? And we're doing it with the greatest of love and the biggest heart, right? Like we're just trying to lighten their load or help them heal or fix them. And this is just, this idea doesn't work energetically. And we have to give them back the responsibility for fixing things, healing things as we move through. And I'll talk about this more later. So let's go on to the third. So we've talked about victim. You know, they blame other people they blame other people for their circumstance, but they also just poor me, right? The victim's in the poor me. And then we have the rescuer, the hero that wants to come in, help the victim. And then the third role in this drama triangle is the persecutor. And this person blames, criticizes, and controls the victim. There's a lot of anger here. There's a lot of judgment here. And they do seek to dominate and enforce like rules and standards. And this is the way you need to do it. This is the way you should do it. Or you're not smart. Or you're not good enough. And it's often implied, right, in the way that the energy that it's coming across. And this is handed out with a great dish, you know, like a nice side serving of shame. And what's interesting about a persecutor is they were often on the other end of this somewhere as a child or in relationships or growing up in where they, you know, they were either bullied or they were abused as children, emotionally, physically, anyway, neglect. And so this is the critical parent within their head. So they act from this critical parent ego state. And they deliver a lot of negative comments, and they're really trying to. The critical parent is such a, it's like almost a satire or oxymoron, right? Because the critical parent really wants to keep you safe, but they're doing it all the time by telling you what not to do, and that you should have had the smarts, the brains, the knowing to have done it different in the first place. And I see this. Again, kind of practical example of this is if we're talking in work situations or in your home situation. And again, we can go between these roles and even on healing journeys and as elevated as you come to be, I would imagine, as I'm not there yet, right? I'm still deep in this healing work. It will always come up for you because I just what I know of healing, it's a spiral. And it's just this invitation to really know our soul and our source. And as we become enlightened, if that's the word you choose to use, it's a spiral. And we get to learn tools and we get to learn new truths, and we can move through these things and these opportunities or these experiences faster and move through them in a way that we don't get stuck, right? And so with that being said, one of the examples that happens here, as we do grow and up level, we have those expectations for others as well. And I think often we have forgotten where we've came from. And this happens in all parts of learning, right? We've forgotten where we came from. And some of us are just, everybody has different talents and different gifts. And I think we forget that not everybody is always on the same page in using that. And so when I talk about expectations, they are often our expectations if we are the persecutor that are not met. And then we criticize the other person for not meeting our expectations, even though they didn't know what the expectation really was. And so when we look at that, like in a job setting or a team setting or a boss setting, it's blaming people that are doing work, you know, towards this project that maybe you're the leader of, and criticizing them, like, you should have done that faster. Why didn't you just do it the way we've always done it? Why didn't you ask for help? And instead of being clear on what the expectations were up front, right? So why is any of this important? Why is it important to understand these roles? Why is it important to move out of them? Many of you probably take on the idea that you can see why it's important to move out, right? Because that's not the way we want to feel. And that's not the way we want to treat people. And underlying, if we understand the reason that that's what the come from energy really is, then we can have a different come from energy, and that can look different. And I'm going to go over that a little bit later today in what it looks like on the opposite side of that triangle as well. And with many things, and as I talk about processes, right, like often the first step is just this awareness, just recognizing, where am I in this drama triangle in the places I'm stuck in life? Right? And from what ego state am I operating from? And maybe even more awareness of where you are stuck, right? Sometimes we haven't even done that work yet. Like, why don't I have what I want? Where am I really stuck? And getting out of that, either the victim, poor me, I'm stuck here because I'm not good enough and there's nothing I can do to get out of this. Or the rescuer, again, if you're in that state, you're maybe experiencing burnout or fatigue because you're not giving other people their own responsibility. Or from the persecutor, again, where we're doing a different kind of blaming, right? We're criticizing others for not knowing better, even though they don't know better yet. And then we get to shift that, right? We get to shift that into the mature adult or into this place where we can leave our ego and those subconscious beliefs that we have, and we can take responsibility for our actions, and we can allow other people to take responsibility for their actions. And so we can break the cycle. This often requires setting boundaries. And again, I've done episodes on boundaries because I feel like boundaries, A, get a bad name, but also I feel like people set boundaries to tell other people how to act instead of how they are going to act in response to other people. Again, if you want more on that, search out that episode. But I kind of alluded to this of being in that mature adult is, you know, setting those boundaries where everybody takes on their responsibility of themselves. We're responsible to people, not for people. And so that means we get to be jerks walking around. But it also means that we don't have to take responsibility for other people's feelings in a way that negates ours. It also is an invitation in these boundaries to learn how to solve our own problems, not relying or waiting on someone else to do it. Maybe we're listening to intuition. Maybe we're taking a new class. Maybe we are proactively asking for help instead of waiting for someone to come find that we need help. So let's talk about what it looks like to change this drama triangle into more of an empowerment triangle, where you get to harness this preference for the state of being and use some of the same energy, or transmute this energy rather, to where we can have these relationship roles that look a little different, that are more conducive to everybody's success and everybody's power, right? Giving everybody their power back and taking your own power back helps you keep your energy, helps them keep their energy. Because when we abdicate our power for someone else, that's draining for us. And when other people don't have their power, same thing, right? That's super draining on them. So real quick back, we're going to go to victim first. And the victim can transform into the creator. So when they we're in this victim mindset of focusing on the problem, feeling powerless, you know, not looking at solutions. And some good questions to know if you're there. There is a quiz that it will be also in that Abundance and Flow community that you can look up and you can take and you can see where you your preference of your role is. But right now, here's some questions as you're listening to this that you can write down and fill out the answers to later, or you just put them in your mind. Do I tend to avoid taking responsibility for my own happiness and well-being? Am I expecting others to change instead? Do I often feel like external circumstances are controlling my life and that I have no say in the matter? And so the creator mindset, the more mature adult approach would be you're focused on the outcome. You're looking at the solutions. You take responsibility for your actions, your choices. And this, the action steps here are really, again, self-care, self-responsibility, moving that powerlessness into leadership. So the next way to really shift your perspective is focusing on what you can control and take small steps towards improvement. You can use affirmations, visualizations to reinforce that sense of confidence and courage and enoughness. So the invitation again is if you are in that victim role and that's the place you tend to operate from, then switch that to creator. How can I solve this problem? How can I create the solution? So the next we're going to talk about persecutor, right? And so that persecutor to challenger. So if we think about a persecutor, again, bring that back, criticizes, blames, creates stress and conflict. Some questions to ponder if this is the role that you play is, do I often criticize or blame others for my problems? Do I believe other people are responsible for my frustrations? Do I feel anger for others not meeting my expectations? Most of the time, we hadn't even told them what our expectations are. And we're quick to tell them how they have not met our expectations. So instead, we shift that to a challenger role. So from persecutor to challenger. And this encourages growth by still constructive feedback and challenging the beliefs of the other person. So instead of making them feel wrong or they didn't know the right answer or that they weren't good enough, then we can help them understand why they don't think they are, if that's the case, and helping to have self-responsibility, right, for our own role, but also their role. And we want to think about having self-compassion for ourselves, because often this persecutor is actually just persecuting ourselves. I didn't mention that before. But sometimes we can play this whole role within our own head with one experience or with other people. And again, that transition back and forth, right? And so if we can have compassion for ourselves and let go of that harsh judgment or that harsh expectation, and we can switch that to learning to receive feedback in a positive and supportive manner, but also to give it in that way. And this is by asking questions, right? And by giving that other person agency in the predicament that you're now in, or that they were not successful with, by asking questions. How do they think that they could have had a better solution? Or how do they think it turned out and the result was? Or what did they think the expectations were? And now moving into rescuer. The rescuer moves to coach. So the mature adult side of the rescuer is to be in that coach role. So in the rescuer steps in to solve the problems for others. They foster this codependency so that the victim needs them to actually fix their problem, whereas the victim should be able to find the solution on their own. Questions here to ask to delineate if you are exhibiting some rescuer traits is, do I frequently neglect my own self-care because I'm too busy helping others? Do I struggle with setting and maintaining my healthy boundaries? Do I feel guilty if I say no to others? And do I get a sense of validation or worth from helping or rescuing others? Versus the coach role, they want to support and empower others to find their own solutions and develop their capabilities. So they want trusting others to handle their responsibilities, being able to delegate tasks. So if we're in a work environment, right? Instead of stepping in and doing the work for the person, we can hand their responsibilities back to them. And we can also learn to delegate tasks appropriately where people can be successful and we don't need to jump in. And the rescuer, most of the time, really needs to schedule that time for that self-care and to take care of themselves. They're usually needing that on the background, even though they're giving out lots of overgiving and rescuing. As I mentioned before about the Abundance and Flow community and the really awesome AF trainings in there, if you want to dive deeper into this drama triangle or a victim triangle, there is a quiz in there that you can take. And there'll be a link in the show notes. And I would love to hear your where you see yourself and where what surprised you and what you want to work through. You can just send me a DM in school after you do the quiz, or you can reach out in any of the usual ways. I do hope to see you in there. Our community is fantastic, and I would love to help and empower you and have you also just along on this journey together with everyone else in the Abundance and Flow group looking for more freedom in our health, life, and business. Again, the link will be in the show notes, so easy to follow. Just find the show notes, follow the link to the quiz. And to final kind of conclude here today, again, all of this information, all of the information I always have in my podcast is available for you to use your own intuition or even your mind, if you have to, to see what resonates. See where you are on the healing journey. See if it's something you want to dive into. And if you do, I provide you some quick and easy strategies right here on the show to follow. So if you, in this case, if you're feeling like you're falling into those victim roles or the persecutor roles or the rescue roles, or you really don't know, invite you to look and see if you have everything you want in life. These probably aren't going to resonate with you. But if you're feeling stuck anywhere, probably some of this information will help you move out of that. So as always, I truly appreciate all of you listening in, and I'm cheering you on as you take action to reclaim your energy. Sending much love and light to you. Until next time. So amazing. You've reached the end of another episode of Creating Flow. And I want you to know I appreciate your presence. And to remind you, knowledge is powerful, but taking action is transformative. I invite you to take the next step to activate your full potential today by scheduling a complimentary 15-minute session with me. A no-obligation chat to identify the messages your body is sending you and how I can not only help you understand these messages, but teach you how to heal your body in order to have an abundance of health and energy in your life and business. Visit the link in the show notes to book a call, and I'll see you next week.